praise the Lord. I will tell you today, we can look around ourselves and you can tell when somebody has Jesus, because they're walking in strength. They are walking with an authority that is only available through the precious blood of Jesus and the inpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life. So this morning, I want to say thank you, Lord, that we as your children know what it is to worship you. We know what it is to say, I am not alone. He goes before me. May God bless us each and everyone this morning as my husband will break the bread of life to you. God bless you.
Amen. Good morning. It's wonderful to be in Alaska. Wonderful to be in Wasilla. I've been looking around. I'm looking for bears or moose or something. I've not seen any yet, but I hope to find someone somewhere. But it's good to see wonderful people here this morning, loving God and giving Him praise and honor and glory. Well, who wouldn't want to be in Wasilla? I mean, if Sarah Palin comes from Wasilla, everybody would want to be here at some point in time. I guess so. Well, I pray God will still use her also powerfully to His honor and His glory. We so love your pastor and his wife. They are just so wonderful, wonderful people. Yes, give God praise for the wonderful gift that He has given. We have met your pastor's wife last year for the first time at the prophetic conference. And spend more time with her and Pastor Melissa last evening. And we really love these two ladies. They are two giants in the faith. Amen. And Pastor Daniel, we've known him for quite a few years. And I told Pastor Karen last evening, whenever I think of Pastor Daniel, he reminds me of a hornet on fire. And I think that's what he is. He's always on the go, always running, always going full speed. What a great man of God. The Lord has blessed you with wonderful people. Likewise, Pastor Chris and Melissa Davis, they are just some of the best. I've often said if Pastor Chris was behind me in any crusade that I would have, I know that we will blow the world and win many souls to Christ. He's a wonderful, wonderful man of God, and we will continue to pray for them. My wife, Anne, and I are originally from South Africa. So if you detect some kind of an accent, that's where it is from, although I have pretty much of a messed up accent. After we came here, we spent 15 years as lead pastors in Lake Charles, Louisiana. That will affect your accent. Then we lived in Georgia for about 10 years, and that will give you another little swing in your accent. And now we're in Texas. Do I need to say any more? But it's wonderful to know that we all speak the same language of love, and that is the message of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of how long we've been here and all that God has done in us and through us. I believe that I need to deliver a message to you this morning, a profound message. I believe God is burning this on my heart to share that with you. All I just want to briefly say is, right now, after we've been living here in the U.S. for 28 years, we are now thoroughly American. We are American by choice. We are not American by birth. We chose to become Americans. Most of you had no choice. So we are proud that we have chosen to become Americans. Happy to be. I'm happy and glad to be called an American. But right now we have reestablished the new mission base in Southern Africa, and we're doing mass crusades there. We're seeing thousands of people come to Christ at each and every one of these crusades. We always make sure that before we have a crusade that there are enough churches that can retain the harvest. Because if you just go in and get thousands saved and there's not a church to take care of them, you're just leaving them like newborn babes on the sidewalks and they're going to die. So we work with many, many, many churches, hundreds of churches when we do a crusade. In one event, we realized that there were not going to be enough churches to retain the harvest, so we made plans and preparation more than a year ahead of time. And after the crusade, we planted 17 new churches in one single day. Because we realized the harvest needs to be brought in. But the Lord also added another perspective to our outreaches when he spoke to my heart and he said, don't only give them the bread of life, but give them bread for life. Lord, what do you mean? He says, feed them. Show them God cares. And, you know, your first response is, well, you cannot feed everybody, but you could feed some. And it's a token of an expression that God really cares. So very recently, after one of our crusades, we arranged with a bakery to bake us freshly baked bread. And on that day, we passed out 10,000 loaves of freshly baked bread. I wish I had time to tell you all the stories of what happened. Other than to tell you that what broke my heart, literally broke my heart, is after we were about halfway, Ann and I got back onto the platform to just take a little break, because to pass out 10,000 loaves of bread is quite a job. You want to know how many loaves? 10,000? Your supermarket has somewhere between 250 and 300 loaves of bread on its shelves this morning. That will tell you how many loaves 10,000 is. But we got back on the platform and I was standing. I was looking at this roll that seemed like it never ended, and it never did for that whole day. They were standing as far as the eye could see. But when I looked to the right, I could see that people were running towards us. Word had now gotten into the village that there was free bread available, and they were running like ants coming from all over for one single loaf of bread. Then I saw some older people struggling to get there in time. Older people hungry. And then I saw how they were trying to make their way on man-made crutches, just the straightest limb they could cut out of a tree that they're now struggling with and running. See them stumbling and falling in the dust and trying to get back up again, probably bleeding and hurting, trying to get there in time for one single loaf of bread. And I was thinking to myself, wow, back in America, you can get as much bread as you want to. White bread, brown bread, whole grain, full grain, 9 grain, 21 grain, sliced, not sliced, baked, unbaked, whatever you want. You can go and get it. You can go and get one of each. But here they are running for one single loaf of bread. It's when the Spirit said, that's what I was talking about. You cannot feed them all, but everybody that has heard this message and every one of those 10,000 people that got a loaf of bread shared it with probably two or three other people, and 30,000 people know that somebody cares about them. Not too long ago, we passed out, oh, I don't know how many tons of vitamin-enriched cornmeal. We prepared meals for them. We slaughtered cows and got a few pick up loads of vegetables and cook them stew over grits, which is their staple food. And people stood there in line. Some of them can't remember the last time they had a hot meal. Do you know when you begin to do that and you show them that God cares, they will listen to what you tell them about Jesus Christ. That's when you can get people saved by the thousands and plant churches and do leadership conferences, because the love of Christ makes all the difference in the world. So Anne and I travel. We're in a different church every Sunday somewhere in America, if not in another country of the world. We do leadership development. We come alongside pastors. We mentor them. We help them. We write programs for them. Our heart is in building the church of the living God. We have very, very little time for ourselves. The only time we have for ourselves, we use up to prepare new material. We are sold out, totally, totally sold out for the cause of Christ. We don't live for anything else but for Him. At the end of the service, when Pastor Karen comes back, she receives a love offering for our ministry. I want you to begin to pray that God will lead you to give. But I want to let you know this morning, when she comes, I don't want you to give into an offering. I'm not here to get an offering. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even go to me. But we're not here to get an offering. But I want to create an opportunity for somebody that has the spirit of giving to sow into a platform that will produce results to the glory of God. So if it's an offering you just want to give, well, feel free to do whatever you want to, but that's not really what we're here for. We're here to create an opportunity for your spiritual advancement and for your growth and for your provision. And God will bless you. Amen. Now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray for the next few moments that this place will be saturated with your glory, with your power, and with your presence. Lord, I know that there are some people that did not come this morning just because it's Sunday. They came because they need to hear a word from you. Therefore, I ask, O God, that you will anoint the speaker and the hearer alike, and let the name of Jesus be glorified. Amen. I want to refer your attention real quickly to the New Testament, the Gospel according to St. Mark and chapter 4. A very simple, but I believe a very profound word that I have for you this morning. We will begin to read in verse number 35. And it's really built around a story. A true story in the life of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 4, beginning to read in verse 35. It says, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Then our chapter ends there, but the story doesn't. It continues in the next chapter. And chapter 5, verse 1 says, and they came over unto the other side. So I want to talk to you for a brief few moments on that subject. Going to the other side. I can also entitle it Reaching Your Determined Destiny, because that is the core of this message. Going to the other side. What does that really mean? What does it mean when I say going to the other side? It basically means that you are reaching forward to something that's on the other side that has to do with your destiny. And I want you to see the story in the vein of which it is presented to us. Jesus was teaching. If you begin at the beginning of chapter 4, you will see that a great crowd had gathered, a great multitude of people had come together, and Jesus was teaching them using parables and principles to teach on the kingdom of God. But this time, the scenario is a little different. Jesus is not standing behind a podium. He's not sitting on a rock teaching. He is sitting in a boat. And from the boat, he was sitting and teaching them the whole day. Now, I don't think at that time, while Jesus was teaching, the disciples were just sitting eating some McDonald's burgers. They were also helping and ministering as the multitude was gathering, and I'm sure that there was a whole lot of ministry going on. And so Jesus was teaching this entire day sitting on this boat. And now the Bible says, and when the sun was setting, when the even was come, well, probably that was not in Anchorage, Alaska, because that would have been midnight. So that was probably in the context around about 6 o'clock. When he said to them, we've got to go to the other side. And that to them was a challenging statement that he had made. And I will come back to that in just a moment. But what I do want you to realize is that there's a story behind the story that is not written, because the Bible says that if all the details were penned, the books of the world would not be able to contain all of what really happened. So here we see something. Jesus was sitting on a boat teaching for an entire day. Now, if he had been teaching there for an entire day, this is what I'm saying is real, but it's not written. That boat had to be anchored in some way, or else it would have drifted in to the sea through the current of the ocean. I don't know how that boat was anchored. I don't know, it was a big, heavy iron anchor in the sand. I don't know if it was tied with a rope to the shore around a big, heavy post or whatever. It doesn't say. But it makes sense that there had to be some way that the boat was anchored. So when Jesus said to them, let's go to the other side, the first thing they had to do is they had to lift the anchor. Now, I'm going to think that probably, it's my own imagination. So I'm preaching, so it's my imagination. So I'm thinking that the boat was tied with a rope around a big pole or something, looking at the traditions of those times. So when he said, we've got to go to the other side, they had to lift the anchor or untie the rope or whatever the case may be. But you see, again, the way that I am, if something has to be done, I like to get it done. Let's get on with the job and let's go moving. If Jesus says, let's go to the other side, I'm probably not going to want to take time to lift up a heavy anchor. I'm probably not going to take time to tediously untie the rope. I'm just going to say, Peter, give me your sword. Let's go ahead and cut the rope. So just give me that sword. Cut the rope. We need to get sailing to the other side. So in our context, I'm going to say to you that we're going to cut the rope. So here is what I'm trying to tell you. That in order for them to set sail towards their determined destiny, the first thing they had to do was they had to cut the rope. If they did not cut the rope, they would not have been able to set sail to their determined destiny. So I am here to tell somebody that if you want to reach your determined destiny, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to cut the rope. So your determined destiny, the other side, could be the purpose God has given you in your life. Your other side may be unanswered prayer. Your other side may be a ministry calling. Your other side may be a prayer hoping that your unlost family will get saved. Your other side may be that which you are believing God for in your life. So your other side may be totally different from somebody else's other side. My determined destiny may be totally different than your determined destiny. My desire from God is most likely totally different than your desire from God. But this I can tell you with full assurance on my inside, that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a bright new tomorrow waiting for you. He has a divine destiny for you. And you may say, well, I am not that young anymore. That makes no difference. The fact that you're still alive, the fact that you're still breathing, the very fact that you're here to listen to this word is a clear indication that God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. You may say, I am too young. Then I want to say, no, you were born just in time. You were born for a time such as this. God has a determined destiny for your life. He has an other side. He doesn't want you to stay here. He doesn't want you to die here. He doesn't want you to be overtaken here. There is a bright new tomorrow, a new destiny, a divine destination. that is waiting for you. And Jesus said, it is time for you to set sail to your determined destiny. But before they could get there, they had to cut the rope. What does that mean if we say we've got to cut the rope? Well, number one, I need to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, cutting the rope means you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You will never reach your bright new tomorrow for as long as you decide to anchor in your comfort zone. Now, I've often wondered, why do they call it a comfort zone? But I think I have found the answer. People don't want to leave their comfort zone because it's comfortable in the zone. Well, now that's deep teaching. I mean, that. But truth is, we have become so comfortable that we are not willing to trust God for anything that's outside of our ability to handle it ourselves. For as long as you stay in your comfort zone where you can handle it yourself, you'll never get to your determined destiny. We also call it getting out of the box. Getting out of doing the same thing over and over. How is it that we continue to do the same things over and over and yet we are expecting different results? If you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. That all determines your divine destination. But cutting the rope, ladies and gentlemen, does not only stay with our comfort zone, but cutting the rope also means forgetting your past hurts, pain, and failure. You will never be able to reach your divine destination if you stay anchored in your past hurts and pain and failure. I don't think that there is one single person within the sound of my voice that does not have past hurt. If you've never experienced pain in your life, don't give up, it's coming. We have all experienced hurt and pain. We've all experienced failure. And if we don't watch out, we will continue to rehearse our past hurts and pain and failure and never cut that rope and never reach our determined destiny. That's why many people don't get anywhere in their lives. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to reach our determined destiny and we want to get over our past hurts, pain, and failure, we're going to have to get to the place where we are willing to forgive people. Because if you don't forgive, it's like taking poison yourself and hoping that somebody else will die. That person won't die, you will die in your unforgiveness. I'm here to tell you, whatever somebody has done against you, you're going to have to forgive them and let them go. I don't care if it was your daddy or your granddaddy, your brother, your friends, fellow church members, a preacher, a pastor, whoever may have hurt you, an employer, a spouse, regardless of who it is, you're going to have to forgive them because you have a determined divine destiny. You cannot afford to be anchored to your pain of yesterday. You cannot afford to stay anchored in all of that unforgiveness. You're going to have to cut that rope and forgive them and let them go so that you can reach and be where God wants you to be. Get over it. Yesterday is done. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can say about it. Yesterday is over. It is dead. Yep, yesterday is dead. D-E-D. It is dead. I know you don't spell it like that, but I'm just telling you, it is dead. There's nothing you can change about yesterday. Just get over it. Forgive them. Let them go. Your life is worth more than that unforgiving spirit. Cut that rope today and say, in the name of Jesus, today is it. Today I'm getting over it. I'm letting go. I have a bright new tomorrow. I have a destiny. I have a place to reach. I have a work for God to do. There are souls to be saved. There are churches to be planted. There's evangelism that needs to be done. I'm not going to get stuck with where I've been. I'm going to cut the rope, and by the grace of God, I'm going to set sail to my determined destiny. Somebody shout and give God praise in this place. I can't camp there that long, but I do need to tell you on the opposite. Not only should you cut the rope of your past hurts, pain, and failure, you also have to cut the rope of your past successes. I have heard too many people that are so thrilled about their successes of the past that they are no longer trusting God for something greater and bigger in their future. Thank God for your past successes. Thank God for past victories. But please do not camp there. Say, thank God for all the great things that has happened, but now I'm expecting greater things from a great God. Ooh, time is running away so fast. But listen to me. They got in the boat, they cut the rope, they got in the boat, and they set sail. But now there is something I don't want you to miss. Verse 35 says, with purpose. And when the even was come, he said to them, let's go to the other side. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus said that, I think the disciples were shaking in their boots. Because when he said to them, when the sun was setting, we're going to the other side, it was the wrong time. You don't set sail across the Sea of Galilee at night. Historically, traditionally, even scripturally, the storms always came over the Sea of Galilee at night. You waited for the morning to set sail. But Jesus didn't wait for the morning. While the sun was setting and the night was approaching, he said to them, we're going to the other side. What does that mean? It simply means that was the inappropriate time. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you something here real quickly. I can spend an hour on just this point. But I have discovered that every time God has given me a major assignment, in my opinion, it was always the inappropriate time. God, this is not the time. You told me this 3 years ago. God, if you just wait 5 more years, that'll be okay. Son, if my son can just graduate from high school, oh God, that'll be good. Or if I can just have enough money, Lord, then I'll support all the missionaries around the world. But God, this time, this is not a good time, God. But I want to tell you, in our minds, it could be the inappropriate time. But in His mind, it is the perfect time. And right now, I'm speaking to somebody prophetically. I'm simply just telling you, don't question God about the timing. Don't question God about where you are. Don't question God about where you're going. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. And He knows where you're going, and He knows what you're going to do. Trust the one that's giving the charge. They set sail. Jesus took His favorite pillow, went to the back of the boat, and fell fast asleep. And lo and behold, a horrific storm came. It was filling the boat. They were getting ready to drown. Jesus, we knew this was going to happen. We should have rather stayed in the Jerusalem Sheraton for the night. And look at this now. Look at the storm raging. But I want to ask you a question. Everybody look this way. I want to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. It's very easy. The question is simply, who asked them or who told them to go to the other side? Oh, yeah. I can tell most of you still thought it's a trick question. No, it's not a trick question. Who told them to go to the other side? The answer is Jesus. Yeah, Jesus told them to go to the other side. And in spite of the fact that Jesus told them to go to the other side, they still ran into a storm. When they crossed over to the other side, tell me, were they in the will of God? I can't hear you. Were they in the will of God? Sure. And yet, they ran into a storm. Listen to me very closely. Just because you're in the will of God does not mean you're not going to face the storms of life. I want to say that again because I don't want you to miss that. Just because you're in the will of God does not mean you're not going to face the storms of life. You can be smack bang in the center of the will of God and things can still go wrong. You can be smack bang in the middle of the will of God and seemingly to you, you're out of the will of God. You can be in the will of God and things can still go wrong. But don't talk to the religious folk. Because the religious folk will tell you, well, if God was... No, wait. They don't say it like that. They say, well, if God was in it, nothing would have gone wrong. If God is in it, Everything will be fine. If God is in it, it should be great. All the doors should open. There should be no opposition. It should be smooth sailing. If something goes wrong, you may be out of the will of God. If God's will is there, it'll be peace all the way. Huh. You go tell Daniel that, not Pastor Daniel, but Daniel of the Bible. You can even tell Pastor Daniel that. You could tell Paul that. Go tell Silas that. Go tell Peter that. They're in the will of God. And it's still going severely wrong. So my friend, I'm trying to tell you, just because things are going wrong does not mean that you're out of the will of God. As a matter of fact, the very reason why things are going wrong is not because you are doing something wrong. It's because you are doing something right. You're functioning in the will of God, and all hell is dissatisfied with where you're going. I realize I've got to end this, but I'm here to tell you today, I know in my spirit that there are people listening to me right now that have heard a charge from God. You know that you're on your way somewhere. You know that your unsaved children are going to get saved. You know that God has an assignment for you. And I've come to tell you, don't give up. Cut the rope. Set sail towards your determined destiny. I'm closing with this thought. Storm was raging. They crying out, Jesus! Don't you care? Jesus wakes up. Here's the principle. Through all of that storm, through the thunder and the lightning, the wind and the waves, it did not wake up Jesus. But the moment one of his disciples said, Jesus, he woke up. I'm trying to tell you, your storm does not rob Jesus of his rest. But your cry will be heard in your own emergency. And when the whole thing settled down, the wind that ceased, I can see the disciples quietly looking at the bottom of the boat. I don't know who it was. Could have been Peter, John, I don't know. But one of them looked at the others and spoke up and he said, guys, what manner of man is this? Who is this? It's not like they didn't know him. It's not like they haven't seen any miracles before. It's not like they've just met him that morning. They knew who Jesus was. And yet they're looking at each other and they're saying, what manner of man is this? The storm made them see Jesus from a different perspective. I'm here to tell you that the storms of your life are not meant to destroy you. They are meant to give you a new perspective of who the Master really is. But one thing you've got to make sure is, if you face the storms of life, You gotta have Jesus in your boat. Because if you don't have him in your boat, I don't know that you're gonna make it. I want to pray a prophetic prayer over some people this morning. And I'm going to believe God to do something great this morning. But I don't want us to cut the altar time short and rush for your opportunity to give and sow into the ministry. So with this anointing, Pastor Karen, going to come back and give you an opportunity to give. You're writing a check, make it payable to KC. They'll put it all together. You're going to give online, give online. Don't forget. And remember, your giving this morning is an opportunity to sow into a harvest.
Come on, ushers, if you could just go ahead and move through the congregation if you want to give this morning, if you want to sow. The amazing thing about sowing seed is that you do get a harvest, and you might not ever be able to make it to Africa or to all the other places that God is using this amazing couple, but you have a harvest in what they're doing because of the seed that you sow. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the Bosmans and how you're using them all over the earth. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity to sow into this ministry, into all that you're doing. Lord, I pray that you would just bless your people as they give and as they sow this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for your giving. Thank you for sowing into your destiny. We have a few short minutes left, and I want to devote all of that time in praying for you. Gentlemen, there's some more over here. I want to pray for special people this morning. Somebody at the count of three. Somebody at the count of three, I want you to, right over here. Sorry, I've got to keep on calling you back, gentlemen. I want to count to three. When I get to three, if you're saying, I believe God has spoken to me and I want to reach my determined destiny, I'm willing to cut the rope this morning by faith. I may not understand it all, but I want to cut the rope this morning and I want to set sail towards my determined destiny. At the count of three, I simply want you to stand to your feet. Here we go. One, two, three. Just come up a little closer, please, everybody that's standing. If you could, just come up a little closer. I want everybody in the front over here quickly, please. I want you to take a moment when I tell you to lift up your right hand. Then I want you to tell God, why are you standing here in the front? Why are you standing here? What made you come here? What is that? What is it that you need? Why are you standing here? If you will, just lift up your right hand and just take a moment. You may not want to shout that out. I can understand that. So, but at least say it. Don't just think it. I want you to say it. I want you to speak it out. Just whisper it. Use your tongue. Use your breath. Use your lips. Tell God why you're standing here. Take a moment. I'm going to be quiet. You tell God, why are you standing here? Right hand on your heart. Pray this prayer out loud after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I need you, Lord. I trust you and I believe you. That which you have spoken to my spirit, I receive from you, dear God. And today I am making a quality decision. I'm going to cut the rope. Say it loud. Say, I'm going to cut the rope. Yesterday is over. Today is the first day for the rest of my life. Things are changing. Circumstances are changing. I'm done with past hurts, pain, and failure. I'm reaching towards my destiny. I'm getting out of my comfort zone. I'm forgiving. I'm letting go. I'm believing you, Lord. And by your grace and mercy, I will reach my destiny. I receive it now. In the name of Jesus. And when the storm clouds gather, Lord, I know you will be with me and I will make it to the other side. Today is a great day. I make a proclamation. My life is changing. My attitude is changing. My perspective is changing. My destiny is sure in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray through the work of the Holy Spirit that grace and mercy will come upon these gracious people. Lord, I know that you have called some of them to a very determined destiny. I thank you, Lord, that things are changing this morning. I thank you, Lord, that I know through the work of the Holy Spirit, you are giving assignments. I thank you, Lord, that through the Holy Spirit today, you are breaking bondages. You are setting the captives free. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Tomorrow is a bright new day of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, you have great work and a great answer. This is the day, this is the time, this is the moment in the name of Jesus, Lord. And it will be done through your power, through your grace, and through your mercy, Lord. There is a new destiny. There is a greater destiny. There is a more powerful destiny. And it's only now just begun. It is only just begun. Put your toes in the water, but get ready to go to the depths of the river. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Greatness, God. Great faith, but great favor. Great favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Unknown territory, but great territory. Unknown destiny, but a divine destiny. Uncertain in many ways, but sure and secure in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hope. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you, Lord, for power and breakthrough. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you praise, O God. I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that yesterday is over. A new day has begun. Thank you, Lord, that she will be rising to the top in the name of Jesus. Rising to the top in the name of Jesus. My God, I give you praise. Thank you for the answer. Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, for courage and faith. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that he is rising to the top. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for fervency and power, mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for all and everything you're doing right here and right now. Thank you, Lord. I see a flower blooming. I see a fragrance coming forth. I see new life. I see new strength in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing hope. I'm seeing a fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit. I sense the gentleness of the breeze that's speaking peace. Speaking peace. Bringing health. Bringing healing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we know that tomorrow is ahead. I thank you for fresh oil anointing. Jesus, your power. This life new. Make it over. Jesus, through your power, from the head to the soles of his feet, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Pastor Kieran is going to close. I just want to say, whatever you do, don't miss tonight. Tonight, I believe there's going to be such a power of impartation. Tonight is going to be a life-changing experience. Don't miss it.
Amen. And we just, I think everybody here knows the Lord, but we just want to take a moment to just reaffirm our faith. If anyone just wants to do that right now, let's just repeat him after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place and rising again so I can have newness of life. Thank you that my name is written in your book. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take someone by the hand. Lord, I thank you for what you've done this morning and what you're going to continue to do in the lives of all your people here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless your people, cause your face to shine upon them, lift up your countenance towards them, be gracious to them, keep them, and give them peace in your most precious name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord.